6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you think that you have it all together and it's not that hard, then you're probably a bad parent.
Probably doing something wrong.
Right. If you're like, well, parenting isn't that is so easy for me. Like, I don't know what the big deal is. Right. You're probably doing something wrong.
Right.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Birdie. Let's do it. Hello, hello. Welcome back to That Twin Mama Podcast. Your girl, Lauren, here. And it's almost Mother's Day, y'all. Mother's Day is this Sunday, so we are doing a special episode. I have my husband in the building.
What up?
In our basement where I record. but yeah, this episode, I polled y'all in my stories about what we wish we knew before, what I wish I knew before becoming a mother or a parent. And a lot of the responses were really on point and just really made me reflect. So we're going to share that. And we're going to share in particular what I wish I knew before becoming twin parent and a teenage parent, all the parenting, because every stage has been different. And babe, you can chime in.
Okay.
Wherever you want. Okay. First, I kind of want to just like pause and reflect on parenting right now, because I will say normally moms are the default parent. And I think for the majority of our parenting journey, I have been, but recently, and what I say recently, I would say within the last like few weeks or so, or maybe like ever since I got my boobs done, honestly, ever since I got a breast reduction surgery, I couldn't like do anything. Like, I couldn't lift. I kind of just stayed. I kind of just stayed helpless. I feel like, ooh, this is kind of like not a vacation. It wasn't, but you had to do everything. And then after that, I start traveling for work. So I think since February 18th, that's when I had my breast reduction surgery. And then since then, I had like just a bunch of things where I was.
It got more exaggerated then, but it started way before that.
For default parenting, like, you feel like you're taking on more of a role as
like
a default parenting?
Ever since, I mean, you're super busy all the time with, you know, work, I guess you call it, right? It's like 24/7 basically.
What I will say is that our dynamic has been is that when you're not on tour, you do more things. So like before, your tour schedule was like you'd be gone for like 6 weeks, however weeks at a time. Like before, a long time ago, it was like a month or so, more than months. Like, so now you haven't been touring as much, so you're home more. So that whole like deal we had of like, oh, when you're off tour, you can do mostly everything, has been like you're not on tour that much right now, and so it's just been kind of extended.
Yeah, because when I was getting ready to leave for a tour, I would do more. And then when I got home from a tour, I would do more, because you obviously had to do everything when I was gone. But yeah, it's different now.
Yeah.
I just kind of stayed in that mode.
But I appreciate you, but it's just interesting because I think about motherhood. Everyone's like, we need a break, and we do. But I think it's not – I think it's just the default parent, whoever it is, kind of needs a break from all the mundane and exhausting tasks of doing it all. And if you're not sharing the load of doing it all, it just feels, I feel like I'm sharing the load. I just think than you're used to.
Yeah. And it's not 100% of everything. Like,
yeah,
but it is like a majority of
it's like pick up, drop off.
Yeah.
bringing to activities. I mean, we have to share some of that, but like that has been amazingly helpful for me. But anyways, I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you on this Mother's Day episode, because I feel like I am able to wear many hats in the season of motherhood because I have a supportive partner. And for the moms that don't have a supportive partner, or you are the default parent and there's no support system, I don't know how y'all do it. We do it, right? Everyone's like, how do you do it? It's because like we have to. What is our option? Do we give our kids up for adoption? No. Like, I look at triple moms and like, how do you do it? But everybody has to do what they do when they become a parent. None of us know how another person does it. However, I don't think I would be built to do it without support or a supportive partner, period. So I just appreciate you.
Yeah. And I mean, it's all good. Like, you're super busy professionally right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not as busy professionally right now. So I just kind of take on more of the parenting stuff.
And I think, yeah. And it's shared parenting, but like just more than I think your typical. I think it's just like a different responsibility than we've ever had in our relationship. Like this kind of dynamic. Are you good with it right now?
I mean, it's. There's definitely some days are harder than others, and it's definitely exhausting at times, and there's other times where I'm like, maybe, it's a struggle sometimes, but it's all good. I mean, what am I going to, like, you have, like, deadlines and all this stuff that, you know, you got to, I got to finish X, Y, and Z by, like, tonight. I'm not going to be like, well, I'm tired, so you can put him to bed, and then you can do all this work. Like, I'm not going to do that, so.
It's definitely a season. I will say something that has been interesting, because I remember you used to ask me this, like, why do you do this? But sometimes after I would drop the girls off at daycare or what have you, I'd pull up into our driveway and literally just sit in the car for, I would never know how much time has passed, but I'd like sit in the car. I might have a coffee and scroll my phone, and just the car could be running and I'd be in there for like a good 30 minutes before I walked into the house. And you'd be in the house, you'd be like, why did you just sit in the driveway like that? I'm like, I don't know. I had to decompress. It's not like a conscious decision. It's just literally, it's a moment of like relief. You're by yourself in the car and it happens. And I have noticed that after drop off a couple of days, I'll like look out our window and I'll see the car had pulled back in the driveway and you're not getting out. You're sitting in the car. Decompressing. And I realize it's not a me thing. I think it's a default parenting. You got rid of the kids for a little bit. Have you noticed that, or am I making this up in my head?
A couple of times, yeah. Because I know once I go inside, I just see all the mess and stuff.
Yeah, that's what it is. Clean up. So, that's what it is. It's the stimulation of like knowing when you get in, like the breakfast mess is there, the toys are still there, the chaos of the morning. And I just don't, I think it's like in your car, you can be like, okay, everything is okay. And then when you walk in, it's like, I have a bunch of shit I got to take care of. That is spot on. So shout out to my people and my parents, moms and dads, decompress in the car. And that might be what dads do when they take a shit or something, because I don't know. Because you don't even have to be a parent. If you're a dude, you're in the bathroom for way too long. Like, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Even Jackson does it. I don't know what is wrong, but women, we go in and go out. 5 minutes tops. Literally, we're ready to go. And then for men, why are y'all in there? This has nothing to do with Mother's Day. I think I'm just missing right now. But is that maybe a decompress mode for dad? Maybe it is.
Yeah, I guess.
That's like they're if they don't do a bunch of the default parenting or take the kids to and from, maybe that's where they hide. Anyways, okay. I digress. Okay, let's talk about, I wanted to talk about our roles, how. Like, was there a moment, people want to know, was there a moment that changed how we saw each other as parents or have been impactful? I'll go first. It's kind of what I'm saying now. I think in this season of teenagers and toddlers, and you're just doing so much, and I appreciate you and I love you for it. But this has been like, I don't say it all the time, but I know I couldn't do what I'm doing right now. My career, all the hats I'm wearing, this would be impossible if you weren't there. Like, I wouldn't feel comfortable leaving for, you know, a week. I was gone in New York, essentially. I wouldn't be comfortable leaving the girls with my mom or your parents. It would be fine, but like, that's just too much on them. And our parents are older. So there's something about the mental when a mom leaves their kids, they're always thinking of all the things that could be going on when they're not separate. They're never fully present wherever they're at. So if they're a working mom, you're never fully present at work totally, because you're always like thinking about the things, right, that could be going on at daycare or at school. And so if you're gone for days at a time and they're with anyone other than, I feel like, their partner, or they're not at their house, there's just more stuff that would be going on mentally to make you feel less present. So I, for one, what are you doing? He's over here like fixing his socks. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
But I, for one, just feel grateful that I don't have to worry about that. I know they're okay. Like, I know bedtime's going to be fine. I know that they don't need me. They might miss me, but I don't worry as much when I'm traveling, because I know they're just at home with dad. And I like love that.
Well,
did that resonate? Is your sock okay?
Yeah,
my
socks are
good.
I had
some adjustment with his socks over there, yeah, while I'm pouring out my heart to you.
My socks are okay, everybody. no, I appreciate you saying that. And it's all good. I got you.
Is there any moment, and the question to you as well?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a specific moment, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like something that happened, but there's definitely been times where, you know, like one of them will be upset about something and I try to like calm them down and they don't want to have any parts of that. And like, I don't know, you just have a way sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Dealing with them and talking with them, and you'll like, you know, snap them out of it and all of a sudden it's fine. Yeah, dealing everything you have going on, like I said, professionally, dealing with all of that, and then you'll like, you know, take a break from that and just pop in and like sing some crazy song with them, or like read them a story with like silly voices and all this energy, and I'll just like random little things where I'll like stop for a second and just, yeah.
I appreciate
that. Yeah, I love you.
I really appreciate that. And it's interesting. I think it's a privilege, too, to be able to, like, when you're in the thick of it, and that's just, like, sharing the load of parenting. I think, like, as a mom, sometimes when I take a break or I do something for myself and come back, I'm such a better mom. Like, I can have the fun moments. Or I can, like, if they're having a meltdown with you, I'm able to see it from a bird's eye view because I'm not in the meltdown. So I can be like, all right, I'll tag in and be like, and, like, can just, you know, logically or whatever I need to do to get them out of it. But that's such a privilege. I feel like you do the same thing. It's just because being a parent is such at least two-person job, at least.
Definitely for twins.
Definitely for twins. But like, I just feel like I'm able to be the type of mom I am because I have you as a supportive partner. Those meltdown moments when I'm single parenting, I probably am melting down with them. I'm not like, oh, here, just, you know, let's find the rainbow, like do something that I learned online where I'm able to switch my brain and like have some sort of toddler gentle parenting hack that actually works, which by the way, a lot of those that doesn't work, and that's fine. A lot of those times I do it, I'm like, they said online that this should work, and like Shiloh look at me like, bitch, bye. I am not responding to these tactics. But sometimes they do, or just sometimes I'm able to be really fun and it's because I'm in a moment or a season that like I'm enjoying the parenting stuff. But when you're in the thick of it, it's hard to like remember the fun. It's hard to be fun when you're overwhelmed and you're drowning. It's not fun to drown. It's fun to like swim and like play. But if you're drowning, that's not going to be playing some Marco fucking Polo when you're drowning. Does this analogy make sense? Anyways, okay. Moving on. Okay. Another thing that folks wanted to talk about for Mother's Day was just like the mental load and default parenting. I feel like we just talked about that. What emotional support looks like. What does emotional support look like in our partnership in parenting? I feel like I have a lot of moments, not a lot, but maybe a lot, but where I am overwhelmed, or you could tell I'm frustrated, or maybe not the most I'm not thinking logically. Not my best self moments in a parenting, and while parenting. And I think emotional support for me looks like you don't judge me, or you're not like, oh, like you don't immediately, there's a fire happening, you're not like, this fire is happening, or like, oh my gosh, your hands are full. Like just what society does, like stating the obvious or judging me for maybe like yelling or freaking out or something like that. I don't feel like I am getting more pressure from you by any means. And to me, that's like support, where I like feel not judged. And I always know that at the end of the day, I know you think I'm a good mom. Like, right?
Yeah.
Do you? I mean, like, I don't think there's anything I could do where you're like, you, I don't know. I just, that feels like emotional support to me. Like, I don't feel judged. I don't feel like I have to be a certain way with you. I feel like we're both in this journey of where we don't necessarily know what we're doing all the time, but at the end of the day, we have each other's back and we're a team when it comes to our kids. We both know that what we want is best for our kids. Like, what we want, what's best for our kids. And I think that assumption in parenting with your partner is huge. Like, if you were the type of person to be like, you know, I noticed that this wasn't cleaned, why did you, I don't know. Or the way you put...
I do that sometimes.
You do. Okay, you do that. But it's not about parenting. You right. are OCD about, like, stuff, but it has nothing to do with me being a mom, if that makes sense.
Right.
You were doing that long before we had kids.
Yeah, that's
to
true.
To your defense. You're very Virgo rising. But does that... What does emotional support... Does that resonate? What do you... How would you answer that? Or does that make sense? Not to put you on the spot. Also, gratitude. I'd say emotional support... For me, too, is, like, just, like, saying, I appreciate that you did this. Or, I see you, and thank you for this. Just, like, some sort of acknowledgement of how hard or you're working at something, especially when it comes to parenting. I feel like a lot of stay-at-home moms, they might have a husband or a partner come home and, like, what did you do all day? Oh, I will kill you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I will be mad. So, like, emotional support does not look like that. It understands that there's an invisible thing that might not be able to articulate what I did all day, but I did a lot and it was exhausted and it was way harder than your job, because a job you can quit, a job you get leave, like, motherhood and parenting is not, it's, everyone says it's the hardest job. It's more than that. Times that by 100, because it's like, there's no clocking in and out. There's in the middle of the night. There's, it's every day. So I just think that when people try to equate, like, oh, stay-at-home mom, you're so lucky. It's like, you get to take a break from working. I'm like, that was the break. The break was going, like, coming back from mat leave and going back to my regular job. That was the break. I remember feeling like it was less exhausting to do that. So I just think emotional support looks like acknowledging the load and never taking that for granted.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's emotional support, but something like, if I'm like getting them ready in the morning,
yeah,
and I'm like, you got something going on, I'm doing everything in the morning, like, if you, something as little as like, you just come out and just do their hair or something, even if I have to do everything else, if you know what I mean, or like, yeah, you do like one little thing can sometimes mean a lot, because then it's like, it's, I'm not just doing 100% of everything at that time, you know what I mean?
And, like, likewise, I think that that goes both ways. And shout out to the dads that do their hair. Like, the fact that you even are naming that, I think, kind of says, kind of gives you guys a window into the type of dad that you are.
Well, I'm getting better at it, but it's
you
still...
You actually, there's a bit recently, I was like, okay, it looked pretty good.
Okay.
So I was like, what really happened is when I was recovering with breast reduction, I really couldn't lift my arms at all. And so I feel like, even in that season, you were doing their hair all the time. And I've just noticed recently, if he does their hair, which I really do try to do their hair because I'm like, I want to make sure their hair looks right. But it looks pretty good when you've been doing it. And
yeah, I'm not going to send them to school
looking like
all jacked up. But,
I know. I mean, a lot of, no offense, but a lot of white parents, I don't want to put genders on it, but if they have like, not white children. I will say this, no even shade to white people. When your daughter's texture of their hair is different than the one than yours, right, it's just hard to learn. Even someone as a black woman, neither one of my daughters have the same hair as me. So I had to learn what products to use. So I will say there is a stereotype of white families or mixed families having like mixed kids. And the white person is the, whoever is the default parent, I'm not gonna say the mom, probably the mom who's responsible of doing their hair. And they don't do their hair or learn how to do it.
We've all seen them in public.
But it's just real bad. Learn how to do your kid's hair. Yeah.
The hair is just...
It's just like, damn.
Yeah, come on.
Don't do that to them. Especially black women. Like, you really have to take care of our hair. So
it's just dry.
If you are a white woman or and your daughter has mixed hair or different hair than you, just please, especially if they're mixed, just learn how to do their hair. Shout out to the Scholler family. I had her on last season. They're a white couple that adopted a black child who it's the best, most beautiful story. Like, go back and listen to the episode. They have, like, she calls the bio mom the tummy mom. She's just I love Rihanna is the shit. Knows how to do her daughter's hair better than I could ever do my own. Shout out to Rihanna. Okay, anyways, all right, now I want to talk about a little bit about what I wish I knew. What I wish I knew before becoming a mom. I polled y'all in the audience, like, what is one piece of advice that you wish you knew before becoming a mom? I'll extend it to the dads too, but just before becoming a parent, I'm going to read off some of the ones that stuck out to me or some of the top themes we saw. I kind of want to react to it. The first was like how lonely it can be. And that definitely resonates. I think in this season of parenthood, once they go to school and they have activities, it's still actually, let's talk about that. They're doing more activities, and I feel like we're in more social situations in their life because they're now, like, in swimming and in t-ball and in ballet. And so there's a grind, and you have to, like, kind of socialize with, like, adults. However, I didn't know how exhausting that part would be in a weird way. This has nothing to do with loneliness, but newborn stage is very tiring. But this stage of when they're all doing stuff every night of the week, I'm like, yo, it's just kind of a lot. Like, I don't think people, I underestimated that part, especially when you have multiple kids and your multiple kids are doing multiple things in different places. Like, I hope the girls always have the same interests, because Jackson, like, tonight we have MMA, we have swimming. It's around the same time. You know, I just, like, think I underestimated the exhaustion of the activities phase of parenting. Would you say, but back to the lonely thing, would you say the parenting feels lonely, or parenthood? Or that this stage is even lonelier or less lonely than it has been?
I don't know about lonely. I don't really feel lonely.
Dads are different, though.
I feel overwhelmed at times with, like, the responsibility of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes, for sure.
I think parenting can feel lonely, or motherhood especially, because, like, when you become a mom, a lot of, at least, like, your social circles can change, or people that you thought might have been there aren't, right? Or, like, the people that you were really close to before. Your world is consumed by being a mom, especially in the beginning. And if people don't understand that, it's just, it's hard for people to show up for you if they don't get it. And to friends and family's defense of the folks that, like, you look around and you thought they were going to be there, our society doesn't really prepare us for how to show up to support new moms or motherhood in general. That's why it's so overwhelming. That's why it's so hard. But similar to, like, if someone loses someone really close to them, grief, I don't actually know how to show up to support someone that's just lost a family member unless I have gone through it myself. And similar with motherhood, if you are similar to caretaking, let's say you are transitioning your caretaker to the elderly. If you're not having done it before, I actually don't know how to support you. So I think motherhood is no different. It feels lonely. It's not because people don't want to be there for you. They have no clue how. And it sucks, because I feel like at some point we lost that knowledge, because we are meant to, as I feel like humans, to be this, like, community, this village of support. That's where the saying came from. But our culture is not about the village. The village gone. I don't know where the village is.
Right.
But there's, like, some cultures, I don't want to misspeak, but there's some Asian cultures where literally you have, like, a nurse or someone that just takes care of the mom. Like, the mom, like, you know how you can have a night nurse or someone for a baby when they're first born? There's literally, I don't know what it's called, and I'm sorry if I'm misspeaking, but there's someone that makes sure they feed the mom. They make them, like, special soup that makes sure she has enough protein and things to make breast. All she's meant to do is lay and feed the baby from her breast. But everything else this woman does to just take, it's almost like a nanny nurse just for the mom. I'm like, yo, what? I got to look it up. I'll try and look it up and we'll put it in the notes. But that is something that is in other cultures. I was like, that is so not American. And yeah, it's somehow we got away from that, but that would be amazing. But that is why motherhood can feel lonely. Someone said, I wish someone told me it's okay to not enjoy every second. Yeah, facts. I think motherhood is definitely different than what I expected it to be. If anyone thinks that motherhood is exactly what they expected it to be, that I don't, what happened to you? Like, Maybe that, I mean, I don't know anyone that's just like, I was fully prepared and I knew exactly what this was going to be like. If you did, you're lying. I would assume you're lying or there's something off or I don't know. Let me not judge. However, I feel like most of us would say we were underprepared or didn't know that it was going to suck sometimes, because it does. And just because something sucks some days doesn't mean we don't love our kids. And I think it's something that we don't have to preface. As moms, I never feel like this. I have to say, yo, this day was terrible, but I still love my kids, to another mom. I never have to say, but I love my kids, to another parent, because I know they get it. It's the ones that don't have kids that you feel like you have to say, but I do love my kids, to prove it. But, yo, I get it. If you complain, I'm not like, yo, mom, yeah, they shouldn't have kids. I bet you they don't like being a mom, or I bet you they don't love their kids. No, two things are not mutual. Is it mutually exclusive?
I know what you mean.
Yeah, but what is it? It's like things are mutually.
They're not mutually exclusive.
They're not mutually exclusive. I always like say misquotes, but anyways, uh-huh. Or say sayings wrong. But yeah, I don't know. I think like, do you enjoy every second of being a dad?
No, of course not. but
they're
so
awesome.
Like something that I didn't, not that I wish I knew, but something I realized is that it's more fun and more amazing than I could have imagined, but also more work and more frustrating at times than I ever imagined.
Yeah.
So there's like both of those extremes, like yin and yang or whatever. But that's just part of it. And like, You take the good with the bad. People say you gotta like, because it's so fulfilling and amazing when they do something like really cute, or you're just having fun or being silly and laughing, and it's amazing. And then there's other times where I'm like, I want to like rip my hair out, and I'm just like so frustrated and tired or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's part of the deal. That's what you sign up for.
Yeah.
As a parent.
And I don't even know if you know you're signing up for it, but like I didn't, as much as you're saying, like you didn't know how hard it could be. You really don't know how much you can love something. Like like your heart like expands like 100 times for this thing that you didn't know before. And I don't know what I was doing before. Like I've never loved anything like I love my kids. Like just, it's just, so that you can also prepare for it. Like it is, it's all that people say it is when it comes to like how much you really do love and care for them. And as much as you do that same, like, oh my God, I love this, is also the pendulum can swing the other way. Like this is so freaking hard. And this is like, it's just, there's a whole spectrum.
Sometimes you get a clean puke out of a car seat and then, but then you also get the video.
God, that is the worst.
Then you also
have
the video of Ever driving the car with the face.
We just like came across this video. It's probably from like a year or two ago of we have these little Jeeps that they drive around. And they go like, I don't know, less than this. Like
It goes like 3 miles an hour.
Not really. She wasn't going 3 miles an hour. It looked like she was going the same speed of just walking. But she was, the fierceness she had in her face, like she was driving this gnat.
Her face, she was going 500
miles an hour.
Yeah,
she's Formula One driver at the edge of this, like, you know, almost about to win the finish line. It's just the determination. It was hilarious. And you'll never get over, like, people, when we talk about our kids, you'll see people light up about something. And you might not, like, get it if they're not your kids. But nothing can brighten my day when I just see something funny or remember something cute or, like, smell them or they do something really sweet. It's literally freaking, like, Stockholm Syndrome. Being a parent is like I'm abused all day, but then you give me a little bit of love and I'm like, you know what,
right?
This is the best. So I don't know how other parents are doing. We might all be crazy, but whatever, I wouldn't change it. This someone commented this, shout out, I think her name was like Love Starbucks. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say her name. 39. I don't know her real name, but it was just a comment on the story of like, this is what I wish I knew. And I actually called this one out, but it's like, be mindful of who you have kids with because it will form the mom you become or inform. And I didn't really think about that. I think in my sense, I'm going to be that type of mom I'm going to be based on how I was raised or what my values are. And you're going to be the kind of dad that you're going to be because of how you're raised and the values you are. But it's actually each inform the other. The fact that you're such a present father and the fact that you are so hands-on gives me the moments of joy where I'm like, hey, God, like I can snap them out of having a meltdown, or I will come and I want to play a game or sing or do something fun. I can be a fun mom at times, not all the time, because my partner is present. If I was overwhelmed and doing all the things and like no one was there to support me, I'd be an overwhelmed, stressed out mom. Like, I don't know if I'd ever be fun. And so it makes me think of my childhood too, or anyone that grew up with a parent that whatever, they were trying their best. I know my parents were trying their best, but my mom was also by herself. So I don't have that many memories of like her getting down on the ground or playing, which I didn't need. I had my brother, but also girl, when was she going to do that? Like Right. There was no one else there. She was like making, like she was working full time and like cleaning, cook, doing all the things. Like, when is she going to be like soft? Where's the soft life when you're surviving? You know what I mean? So I just thought that was so, that comment was like just so on the nose, because who you have, who's supporting you, how emotionally regulated are they? Are they healed? Because that's going to inform the whole dynamic of the household. It totally matters who you have kids with. Be mindful. If you have a dude that you think is going to like change because he becomes a dad, but there's some red flags, be just mindful of how you think they're going to show up as a parent, because that sis will inform how you show up as a mom.
Yeah, that's a really good point that I never thought of either. Because like you said, you feel like I'm just a dad because of the way, but you realize it's a team.
Yeah.
And a partnership.
Yeah.
And you're doing it together. So of course it's just going to affect each other.
100%.
As the way you parent and stuff. And I've definitely, because of your kind of, whatever you want to call it, journey, career path.
Yeah.
Like being kind of a mom, content creator. It's made me, you know, you've learned a lot about parenting through doing this.
Yes, 100%. Yes. Know,
different podcast guests and like whatever you talk to different experts and you're looking at stuff. And so through all that, it's like it's affected me too, because I'm like more intentional about certain things I do, or maybe something, techniques that you've told me about. And it's a good point, and it definitely made me think about and realize that something I never really thought about.
I mean, all the comments are great, but this one, be mindful of who you have kids with, because it will inform how the mom you become or the parent you become. I think of it, you know, I love a good analogy. It doesn't always make sense to others, but it makes sense to me. But I think about, first thing that came to mind was a tennis match. Like if you're playing doubles, shout out to Serena Williams because she follows me.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Slight flex. But like if you're playing doubles and you could be dope, you could be Venus and Serena, like really two great like players. Let's say one of them got hurt and couldn't play, but you're playing doubles, right? You're playing against two other people. You could still hold your own, but eventually you're playing against two and you're one. And even though you're the best tennis player ever, your partner is hurt, or your Achilles or something got hurt. You're not going to be able to win like you would.
Nah, Serena still won. She's still
winning. Serena actually would still win. Yeah, let's be real. Yeah. Two random tennis players, but you see what I'm saying, right?
Terrible analogy. Serena still wins.
Serena would still win. But y'all get what I'm saying. Like, give it like, you know, regular schmegular wasp moms that just play tennis. Was wasp a thing?
No, Anglo-Saxon Protestant is what wasp
I just think
for.
About, you know, like, we play tennis. People in the neighborhood. But y'all know what I mean. Anyways, I move along. Three. So, this is another thing someone was talking about. Shout out to my friend Kay, like just talking about how not prepared they were for motherhood, or underestimated what motherhood would be. And I have a video about this, but like what I thought maternity leave was going to be like. And I feel like we all had been there. I thought it was going to be like relaxing and like I'm gonna have my baby and it's like a little vacation from work. Hell to the nah. So like I feel like the first underestimation that we have as parents is if you think maternity leave, you're gonna have a break. Cause that was not a break. I remember overhearing someone that said that they thought they were gonna learn a second language during maternity leave, learn Spanish. And that's like what literally inspired me to make this video, because I was like, girl, you don't even know. So same with maternity leave, same with newborn stage. I feel like we can underestimate. Like I underestimated, I knew I wasn't gonna sleep, but I underestimated how that would feel. And what Kate was sharing is that she had like, was like in charge of a school reunion that she was like the planner of or something like that. And it was scheduled for 3 weeks postpartum. And she's like, oh yeah, I can do it. The baby will just come. I'll just bring the baby to this event that I have to plan and put on for 3 weeks postpartum, girl. And that's just like what we think. We're like, oh, it won't be a big deal. And it was a big deal. Like just, you're still leaking, you're still healing, which is wild that 6 weeks maternity leave was standard practice. I think it might still be, like that's the bare minimum. Most companies give you more, but technically the only thing that they're required to give is 6 weeks, which is wild. But I think people just underestimate, and maybe because it's society, how difficult motherhood can be at every stage. And I think that now, as soon as you kind of figure out that stage, you go on to the next stage. Like, I feel like as soon as I got a handle on things, then now they're already out of that stage. Like, even like the girls being in this toddlerhood, when they used to not be able to communicate or like having tantrums about certain things, I'm like, okay, I finally figured out the techniques, and they're like four, and they're not doing the same things that they were doing, where I'm like, okay, now there's a new challenge to have. And now we have a teen, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I underestimate the teen stage. Cause he's a great kid. He still is. He's easy compared to what the girls are at his age, but it's still very challenging. Would you say the same? Like underestimating each stage?
Yeah.
Speaking of teen, I think he just came home. We might hear him in the background. Do you hear him? Anyway.
It's weird like that, because in the very beginning, there's not much to it.
Yeah. You say that, but it was.
Well, I mean, like, as far as like.
Yeah.
Their needs are very simple.
Yeah.
To start. And then as you get the hang of that, there's like new.
Needs. Yeah.
As you go, you always have to kind of. And then it just gets more and more dynamic, I guess.
Yeah. And people always say, like, is it get easier? What's the hardest stage? And I just say it's all different. I will say 6 to 12 is like a sweet spot where they are super independent as far as physically less demanding, but they still really like you.
I'd say like from birth to 18 is the hardest stage of raising a child.
Look at my brother. I don't know
it's
if it's
just really
the, 18.
Those first 18 years yeah. that are tough.
But it is interesting for everyone's like wondering when it gets easier. It just gets different. But I will say that 6 to 12 is like a spot where, at least from my memory, the girls haven't hit that age. It's kind of, you kind of get your groove a little bit. And then I think teenagers have happen and hormones, and it's just like, wait, what the fuck was happening?
Right.
But yeah.
They're old enough to take care of, they can do yeah. things for themselves, but they're not.
It's just different. And I'm realizing too, this is like kind of going off topic, but I'm realizing too, like teenagers are similar to toddlers, but you know how you like are supposed to let your little kids like fail, like if not fail, but they learn from having that experience. We shouldn't helicopter them all the time. Like if they don't know if they fall, like they can get up, and then they need to have that experience. It grows who they are. If you protect them from everything, they're not going to be able to function in the world. But with teenagers, when they're like, no, I'm not going to do my work, you're just supposed to let them fail. But I'm like, no, you can't fail because you're not going to get to school. It's just the consequences are bigger. However, you're supposed to have that same rationale of like, let them make their choices and learn from them. But in my mind, I'm like, yeah, but no. It's just harder to do, I think. I'm really trying to reparent myself to let go of the reins a little bit as they get older. But it's hard.
Yeah.
We'll have a whole episode on teenagers. I still haven't figured it out, y'all, but.
You still, like, put the covers over the socket. It's like, yeah, you could let her stick her finger
yes,
in there.
Right.
And then
yes.
she'll learn.
You baby-proof.
She'll definitely learn
yeah.
not to do that again if right. she electrocutes herself.
Yeah, I feel like there's a difference.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. there's certain things you let it learn from their own choices.
Yeah.
But then it's, you have to like draw the line somewhere.
You do.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to be like, well, if you drink that Drano, you're probably going to make yourself sick. It's like, no, you can't. You have to.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of a like a instance where they say with like toddlers, it's like, just let them do it. And but I don't really know if there is one. Like if they don't eat their food, I'm trying not to give them like a bunch of snacks right before bed. But like, no, this is the time for dinner. You're supposed to eat now.
Yeah.
You eat. If you're hungry, you will eat. You won't starve. But anyways, I don't know. I don't know any of the parenting tips right now. So don't listen to me. I'm just based on experience. Every stage is hard. They're all different, but there's also really great moments in each stage. The teenage one, I would say, is the hardest, though, I would say. Do you think? I don't think people say
it's
that.
It's not as, like, physically exhausting.
No, it's not physically exhausting at all. Like, if I tried to lift him, I would die. Like, there's no physical.
Yeah,
he's stronger
to,
than me.
Like, yeah.
But I think mentally, it definitely challenges you. It shows you who you are. Like, you have to do a lot of work. Like, yeah, I think that it tells you a lot about yourself. And even, like, some of your child trauma that you might have had comes up. That's another thing that someone said, something that I wish I knew, is that they didn't realize how much of their child trauma or their past experiences would show up in parenting. Facts. Because you don't even realize you're triggered by stuff. Or, like, you're, like, kind of surprised by your reactions to things. And that's all based on childhood stuff. And if you haven't healed it, or if you're not working on that stuff internally or with someone, it will always come out. That stuff, parenting brings out all the things, good and bad. So I think it's just, like, the biggest form of finding out who you are and what you need to work on is being a parent, and especially a parent to teens. And I say this, if anybody's considering having kids with a partner and you think things are going to change, but you're like, maybe it'll make our relationship stronger. Nope. It's stress. So parenting just amplifies everything that's underneath the covers, I think. Like, it makes every situation just amplified. The great moments, you might love your partner more, but it also will stress the F out of you. And another thing that someone said is, like, I didn't realize how much it could change our relationship with my husband, roommate phase. And I think that's facts. When you first have a baby and you're bringing them home, I mean, shout out to the ones that were getting it on before the 6-week checkup, because I don't know what you're made of. I couldn't know. And even in different phases, when we're like, even this toddler phase, toddlers and a teen, when you're overwhelmed with all the kid stuff, especially in that first year, it is completely normal, in my opinion, to kind of default into this roommate phase with your partner, because if you're in survival mode, that's your default. It's hard to pour into someone else when you're pouring into these little ones, not pouring into yourself. It's hard to think about anything else. So I'd say that was true. Like, what would you agree with that? Or
yeah, for
thoughts?
Sure. I mean, that basically sums it up. When you're in survival mode, you're not being romantic.
Yeah. Someone also said, I wish someone told me that pregnancy was the easy part. I'm like, damn. Pregnancy was not easy, and this goes for...
Did they have twins?
I don't know. Did they have twins? But pregnancy was really hard, but I don't know if pregnancy was easy. It does feel like it was easy compared to right now, like, because it's such a distant memory, and I think our body forgets. Pregnancy is hard AF, but, like, then when you're in the moment, everything... Our body forgets, our mind forgets. That's why we keep on procreating. Like, we keep on having kids because there's lots of great things about it, but we forget how hard labor pains were. We forget about, like, what birth was like. We forget the newborn stage. We just remember, like, oh, well, now they're not little, and I miss the little person. That's what I'm like right now. Like, would you want more kids?
Nope.
I said this with the biggest smile because I know he's a hard no. Although I thought that was a hard no, but now I'm like, but they're almost 5, and I'm like, I mean, you have a vasectomy.
We got friends with little kids.
I know.
We can have them over. You can hold them. You can get all that out of your system.
I know.
And then come back to reality.
The cure for if you think that you want more kids, just make your friends get pregnant or, like, someone close to you and offer to, like, go over and smell them and get that little serotonin boost and get that shit out of your system. Unless you really want more kids, but that's what I need to do. Someone said, how frustrating making damn dinners this for the rest of
my
life. I didn't realize. I don't know if I wish I knew, but like breastfeeding was hard, but like the meal was always there. It was just me. Then once they start eating, it's like cute, like, oh, but then once they get to like, you have to find out healthy meals throughout the whole day. Then they go to school, so they have lunches there. But like breakfast is kind of easy, but it's the, what are we having for dinner? Mm. For every single member of your family, for every single day, for years and years and years. That is, what are we having for dinner tonight? Are you taking?
I'm making it.
You're making something? Stuff, see, yeah. Shout out to, happy Mother's Day to me. Thanks, babe. But no, it's seriously, I feel like Uber Eats needs to sponsor me because I've probably given them too much. Like, I feel like I order because I'm like, I don't know what to do and I don't want to deal with it. So I default to order something, or I'll find some like canned thing. But yeah, the dinner question of making meals, and just not meals, like you want to have some sort of balance. Don't want to fill your kids' shit. Like I would just eat chips or something. Like when I was in college or whatever, I'd be like, I don't know what I'm having for dinner. We'll just figure it out. Right. Now it's different.
And I'm making this thing, but they're probably not going to eat it.
What is it?
It's the like pot roast thing.
Is it spicy?
No.
Okay. They need to eat it. They're eating it.
Okay.
We're going to make them eat it. We'll report back. Oh, in the same vein of like dinners forever, someone was like, you'll never sleep in again. And I will say your kids are probably young because when you have teenagers, you're just like hoping that they're alive because they don't even surface on the weekend. If we don't go in and check on Jackson, he comes out like 2. I'm like, dude, get up. So it's very ironic. When you're pregnant, you can't sleep, which is like just preparing you for newborn stage because you don't sleep. Then they become toddlers and you still don't sleep because they wake up in the middle of the night, or when they're finally sleeping through the night, they might wake up at 5 and be like, yo, we lit, or like just, you know, everybody, if you know, you know. Then just kids don't like to sleep. But then when they hit the teenage stage, they like to sleep. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, boy, get up. Yeah. So that's just how it goes. So you will sleep in again when they're like teenagers, but by then you're like wanting them not to sleep in. So it's just nature's fun little
circle of life. Or if they're at grandma and grandpa's house.
Oh, yeah. Or, you know, get you a overnight babysitter. Shout out to Ellen and Pete, the goats. Yeah. You sleep in. I'm actually looking forward to it this weekend. Wait, is this weekend Mother's Day weekend? Okay. When this is recorded, this is not Mother's Day weekend this weekend. When this goes live. But this weekend, which is the weekend before Mother's Day weekend, is a night that we get out. Like, Ellen and Pete are taking them overnight.
Well, I don't know if they're taking them overnight. They're not taking them overnight. They take them during the day.
Oh. Okay. Well, that's still... so that we don't get to sleep in.
Well, she's still getting better. You know, my mom can't. Yeah. She's still healing.
Yeah. What, like, our parents, both of our moms fell within, like, a few days of each other. And each of them broke bones. And it was just falling by doing, like, mundane activities. Both were walking on uneven
pavement. Yeah.
But it's wild because we're at an age where we're taking care. I think they call it the sandwich generation, or I might be saying it wrong. But we're taking care of our little ones. But then something happens and we also might have to take care of our parents. And in my mind, I thought like we had maybe like 10 more years before falls and stuff would happen and like bones were broken, but we're in it. Mm-hmm. And we have toddlers, and then not like, luckily your parents are like able to, there's your dad's there with her. My mom doesn't. So it was just, it's been a interesting and like kind of a scary and like eye-opening time, I think, for both of us having parents that you realize, especially with a fall or something happening, that it's just a reminder that we're all aging.
And now it seems like it'll still be a while before they need like constant care, but it's like on the horizon.
It's on the horizon.
Like, that realization is kind of crazy.
Right. And the reason why this is even coming up is because we're like, his parents aren't taking them overnight, but it's only because she's healing because she had this fall and has like this brace. So it's even just like thinking about that reality. I don't know. And your mom's less stubborn. No, they're stubborn as hell. Both of our parents were stubborn as hell. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not supposed to do certain things, but then like,
they try to do it.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know if you,
which I would be, I'll be the same.
You'll
way.
Be the same way. Let's not, let's break the millennials. Let's break the cycle. No, but I get it because they don't want to be a burden. Yeah. And they don't want to ask for help.
Right.
But like,
and I'm sure they're not excited about that phase of their life.
I know.
Who would be?
I know.
You want to, you know,
but try to, I know,
like, push that off and as long as you can.
I will say that, like, now that we're nearing this phase of our life, like, I am grateful that we have multiple kids, because I see you, and I'm glad that we married each other too. But when you have one child or you're an only child, you're kind of responsible for all of that by yourself. You know what I mean? Like, when I have my brother, but I don't know if he's going to be really, he's useful. But anyways, all to say, like, one of the reasons why I knew I kind of wanted more than one kid, even though we didn't know if we were going to have more than one kid, was because I wanted them to share the load and the responsibility of taking care of us when we got bigger. As we aged. So
what are you gonna do when you get bigger?
I sometimes can't turn off my how I talk to kids language. But anyways, I digress.
Have girls, because yeah, and take girls. Care of you when you get old. Boys will stick you in the home and go on their business.
And we're not doing that. Or have your boys married.
That's the joke, like, I know. The stereotype that, like, I know.
That's true.
Girls will take care of you when you're old.
They will. And we got two girls. And we got Jackson. But Jackson's the most responsible. Obviously, he's a teenager.
We'll never have to worry about being tucked in, because Ever will make sure that everybody's tucked in all the time.
Yeah. Our one daughter, Twin A, she's taking care of like 35 different lovies right now. So, and she doesn't even complain. That's the, like, you know what? Shout out to single parents that are complaining. My toddler is taking care of 35 little ones. And not one
they're
thing.
They're all fed,
tucked in tight. We should take a lesson from her. And I think the last thing that I'll say is that people were talking. There was a theme of they wish they knew how much their identity would change, and they might mourn the person they were before. You'll never be the same after having kids. It does change you forever. But for me, I think that's true. But I really like this version of myself better than before I had kids. I wouldn't be in the career that I am if I never had kids. Like, I wouldn't have had the courage to, like, step in. I always liked the creative direction. I always liked making videos. I took, courses in college, but that just never was something that I thought as a career path until it organically happened, because I wanted to share my story of twins, right? And so I think it gave me a little fire under me and, like, lit something that was really magical that I didn't know was there after becoming a mom. So yes, you'll never be the same. And there's parts of me that I do more on certain days, because I'm like, where is she? And if you're looking for that old, like, that person who you were before, she's in there. Give it time. And that's okay if you're like, I don't like this version of myself. And there could be a season where you're actually even a better, more blossomed version of yourself, or there's some sort of blessing or, like, thing that will be blossoming in you that would never have outside of your kids that you can't see yet. That could just take you to a different level, that you actually do love your identity and you wouldn't have it any other way. Two things can be true. I've been in both stages, but I will say I agree with this, but also it's been really beautiful too at the same time. Would you say the same for being a dad? I don't know if it's the same, like, kind of thing for a dad.
I wouldn't say my identity's changed, but it did force me to kind of get my shit together.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd probably, you know, you can't just be partying all the time if you got kids. I mean, some people do it, but
it's really hard to wake up with kids with a hangover. It's the fucking worst thing ever.
You can't be partying like crazy, and that's probably what I would have been doing or still been doing if I didn't have kids, and that never ends well for anybody that, you know, so.
I also, in my mind, feel like I'd be rich if I didn't have kids, but I don't think we would be.
Try not to think about that part. Jesus.
But I think I'd be broke, like, just, like, less broke. Like, I feel like just right now everybody's broke, even people without kids. Or not really, but it's just, it's a hard season. Things are expensive. But no, we'd have a lot more money. But I feel like everybody's struggling, to be fair. That's what I have to tell myself.
Right.
Because, yeah, it's just groceries for a family of five. It's like, what, half a grand? I would say if we got everything we needed from the grocery store,
spent
minimum.
$350 yesterday,
and that wasn't,
and
even,
you were like, we didn't get anything.
I know, sorry for saying that. We didn't get everything, but, like, we got stuff for like a couple we
I
didn't.
Got a bunch of stuff, but
the
yeah.
girls ate one full thing of berries, raspberries and strawberries, in 5 minutes, the entire thing. I turned around and they were all gone. I was like, That was like $50. Like he's just scarf. It wasn't really, but still, like,
yeah.
Groceries are like, put that on your registry. If you're pregnant, you're coming up with a registry. Groceries, Costco gift cards, not Target. Hey. Anyway, okay. Let's say one thing that we wish we knew before becoming a twin parent, because we have our twin audience. I think with twins, something that is like interesting. Honestly, I feel really lucky. Like I love being a twin mom. It's the best thing ever to see, especially to girls, because girls are mean. We all know, but they have each other's back, and I just love seeing the relationship. One thing that I didn't realize would happen is that they switch roles. Like there's all these like memes and videos like my twin A, my twin B. I think it's been surprising. I don't even know if it's helpful, but I'm going to vent about it or just like express it, because when they were first born, I remember when they were first born, I remember twin being B being more, I would say, vocal, crying more. And I could hear the cry like, oh, it's twin B, it's Shiloh. I can hear it. And I remember being a little bit like, oh my gosh, why is that one just a little bit more? Why do they cry all the time? Then fast forward, and you all may know from past podcast episodes or past videos, I got my twin name, my Ever Grace, who I love, but she got an attitude. Like she would just look at you and cut you like a knife, like did not want to F with me at all, but definitely would cry for like just stand and cry. Like she was just more temperamental. That's the word I'm saying. And I was like, okay, this one's going to teach me about my life and my soul, because she is, whoa, she's giving it to me. Fast forward to now. Temperamental one is Shiloh. So all to say, whatever you think about each twin, they kind of do switch, they evolve. I feel like a lot, there are certain things that they are constant in, but they evolve and switch back and forth about who's going to be turning up more. So basically just count on everybody having a phase of the turn up. But what real advice? That was just kind of funny advice or a funny observation. But anything to twin parents listening, what you wish you knew?
I mean, I was like super, I don't know if the word is nervous or anxious about, like, it's pretty intimidating when you find out you're having twins.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, like this is
double the everything. Like,
I don't know what this is going to be crazy. You know, not only just like having more kids or, you know, a kid or kids 10 years later.
Yeah.
There's like that. But then on top of that, it was like, it was twins too. And I'm like, so that was a lot. But then when you actually get into it, yes, it is more difficult.
Yeah.
But there are some things
that are easier.
That are slightly easier. Mm-hmm. Like in some ways it may be harder to have two kids close in age.
Yeah.
Because at least twins, they can wear the same clothes.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, thank God, as of now, they're in the same activities.
Mm-hmm.
And
they play with each other.
They go to the same classroom. They like, do,
yeah.
A lot of stuff is like,
but that would, yeah.
Together. Like if we were, you know, if they went to like, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I think the biggest thing is like if you had a toddler and a baby, like one is taking a bath this way, like, and right. Then you have a newborn that needs this. This one's eating. This one's breastfeeding. This one's in kindergarten. This one's in pre-K.
Right.
This one, like, so there's like that separation. In some ways, it's harder. But I think the biggest thing with what we noticed with Jackson, yes, like Jackson was an only child for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I think siblings play with each other, especially if they're close in age, but twins really play with each other. Like they are the same.
Mm-hmm.
So socially they're like learning and always ahead social wise. Like they, like imagine having a play date partner with someone your exact same like cognitive level. You all just kind of challenge and up each other. It's just, it's like having just a social bestie in all the best ways for play and fun. But also I think just really for their development.
Mm-hmm.
I think they develop in like such a great way, and almost like potty training I think was easier because mm-hmm. we had twins. Because once homegirl got it, sis was like, yo, I gotta get it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think there's like an encouragement, and there's this thing that comes with anything in social environments. Like if you're better as like a group, that's I kind of has with twins. So maybe quads. Shout out to hey, Lindsay. Hey, I need to have her on. But I wonder if it gets easier, if some things are easier with triplets or the more kids you have.
No.
Quads, probably not.
There's nothing.
They're probably like, shut up, you stupid twin mom. Don't try and come for us. We did not send for you. Okay, well, I want to wrap this up. But in honor of Mother's Day, just if you are out there and struggling, know that you're literally not alone. There's not, we don't know. And like, I feel like I wish I could have gotten advice of what to expect before going through it, but you can't, like, unless you've gone through it and you don't, you never know what to, never know what to do. So if you're like, I don't know what to do, I don't know if I'm doing anything right, that's exactly where you're supposed to be. I'm able to just give advice based on what we've already been through. And so I hope that helps, but none of us knew what we were doing when we got to whatever stage we just talked about. No one does. And I think that that's like the beauty, and I don't know if there's beauty of motherhood, but like just knowing that everyone goes through that, even if the social media reel or the videos you're seeing online makes you feel the opposite, like everyone has it together but you, that is not the case. So in honor of Mother's Day that is coming up, I hope that you're able to do something that can pour into you a little bit. I hope that you extend grace to yourself. If you feel like you're not doing a great job, I'm here to tell you, you are. The fact that you're listening to this podcast all the way to the end, girl, bye, you are doing a great job. Because the fact that you're even seeking out advice or anything on Mother's Day just says, I think, the world. And to the partners that might be listening, to my little, like, what, 2% dudes that might be tuning in, I don't know, Ryan, putting you on the spot, do you have any advice or anything that you would say for them to do for their moms on Mother's Day?
Oh.
Or do the advice, whatever you're going to say, and then I think...
Yeah, well, just parenting in general, but I feel like specifically for moms, like if, or for every, all parents, if you think you're a bad mom, you're probably good.
Yeah.
Because you're actually concerned about doing a good job.
Yep.
If you think you got it, you think you're a good mom, you're probably
no.
Or a good parent.
Yeah.
I mean, no.
If you think that you have it all together and it's not that hard, then you're probably a bad parent.
Probably doing something wrong.
Right. If you're like, well, parenting isn't that is so easy for me. Like, I don't know what the big deal is.
Right.
You're probably doing something wrong.
Right.
If you feel like you like it and you got the knack of it, I would say you're great.
Right.
But
it's saying.
Yeah, yeah,
it's not, but not like literally like that. Yeah. But yeah, so don't get discouraged. Shout out to all the moms out there.
And the dads.
It's very difficult. Well,
and the dads holding it down.
We have our own day.
To all the dads, because we're going to talk about, we'll end with the Mother's Day, but like to all the dads that step up or the other partners to step up on Mother's Day so that we can pour into ourselves, shout out to y'all because we need you to do that. We need you to step up. We're only able to be as good of a mom or a parent as the support we have. And shout out to that comment again about like who you are with will inform the kind of parent you are. So I hope in this honor of this Mother's Day, you have a real one next to you, or maybe you have a sister or a friend or someone that can like remind you of how great of a mom you are. Have a break if you need a break, or not have a break. Maybe you're one of those moms which I like, you know, wants to be doing all the mom things on Mother's Day. Actually, I'm going to say this. I don't really want a break from my kids. I just want a break from doing all the things. Like, I want my kids to just, like, give me the hugs and kisses and, all right, peace, bye. Like, I want all the good parts of being a mom without having to do shit.
Yeah.
So that's what we mean. I don't think we just want to be – a lot of us, the only way we get that is if we're in a hotel by ourselves somewhere because there's no one to mess with us and there's no stimulation in the house. There's nothing that we have to do. So I get that. But for me, I don't necessarily want to be away from my kids. I just want everything to be clean and no food I have to make. And my kids love me. No one cries. But that's
I'll
what I would
want. Try to make that happen.
So I wish that for all of you listening.
Yeah, all the dads out there.
Make that happen.
Yeah, but and also just, yeah, appreciate all the moms because being a parent's hard, mom or dad.
Yeah.
And I know being a dad is difficult, but we don't have all the pressure that moms have from society on their shoulders. So shout out to all the moms out there.
Right.
It's difficult, but you guys have one of the hardest jobs in the world. And I'm really proud of you, babe, for being such an amazing mom and everything. And I'll try to make your Mother's Day dream come true as much as I can.
I appreciate you. Well,
I can't promise they won't cry, but
yeah,
I can do the other
they
things.
Won't cry. I love you. I really do. Okay, well, on that note, happy Mother's Day to everyone, and I hope you all have a great one. This has been another episode of That To My Mama Podcast.
Peace!
And that's a wrap for this episode of That To My Mama Podcast. But before you go, let me tell you how you can keep this village growing. First things first, are you subscribed? If not, what are you doing? Hit that subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening so you never miss a new episode. We're streaming on all major platforms, so let's make it official. Secondly, let's stay connected on socials. Follow us on That Twin Mama Podcast on Instagram for short form relatable content, and follow us on YouTube at That Twin Mama Podcast for entire episodes in all of their glory. And lastly, and this is a big one, if you liked what you heard today, please leave a review. Your 5-star love means so much to me and the team behind the scenes and helps us to keep going. It also helps us to find parents like you who need to listen to these episodes, which mean the world. So until next time, take care of you, take care of your crew, and remember, you're doing an amazing job. See you soon. Peace.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.